I say.
Hey, girls and gays.
Hello, girls. Hello, gays.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Switch up.
Yeah.
Welcome back to I Said What I Said.
Where we
close the gap between who we are and who we want to be.
And where we are and where we want to be.
I am your host, Mukundwa.
And I am your co-host with the most, Nyakwezi.
And we're reporting live from social distancing.
A rainy, rainy Joburg. Everyone's inside.
Well, actually, we're going to discuss that. I mean, right. Is everyone inside? So we've had feedback that we requested, or I had feedback that I requested. Let me take ownership. I asked people if they want more coronavirus content, because we're all inundated with a lot of information and misinformation on every single platform, and just like content. And people said no, they want some form of escapism. And so I think we might do more than one episode a week. I'll have to discuss that with you, Nyak.
Yeah, this is all news. It's good, no? Yeah, talk
yeah,
to me.
We might do some chatty episodes, because thank you for everyone who sent in suggestions.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the coronavirus or pandemics is the new normal. And so it's going to be interlaced in everything we talk about, but it doesn't all have to be... They're kind of two sides to every coin, and it's more intricate than just suffering. And so that's what we're discussing today.
Yeah, and I think bearing in mind the suffering that a lot of people have gone through, so, you know, with that sensitivity as the backdrop, this is what we're going to be discussing.
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess. I mean, I wanted to, well, let's first introduce the topic, then let's get right into what you said, because that's very interesting to me.
All right.
So today we're discussing the circumstances we've all been thrust into, social isolation, social distancing, loss of revenue streams, or having to be innovative, pick yours. What are the neutral to positive changes in behavior and patterns that we've experienced because we have more time, for better or for worse, more space, for better or for worse. And we're discussing that today. So essentially, in crude terms, what are the positives? What are some positive outlooks, or some small peaks and moments of benefit we've had during this time of confusion and frenzy? Before we discuss that, though, so Nyakia, you just said now that we, you know, are discussing all of this with an overarching consideration for the suffering. I've been thinking a lot about caveats and about disclaimers and trigger warnings. And we've discussed this a lot. And I think my opinion's going to keep changing. But I think I am kind of getting fed up with them. Because now in the time of corona, if there was ever a time no one has time to comfort you, one, it's kind of now. And I just wonder, do we constantly have to say after every discussion, or before every discussion, before every joke, that we're not trying to offend the offended party, we're not trying to be mean, we're not trying to discredit? At what point do we say, if you're offended, you're offended, and it really wasn't my duty to manage that as, like, not even as a friend, it's as a global citizen, like as a stranger listening to my podcast, as two strangers, where's the duty of care? Does there even have to be any? Even online, like on forums.
I think so. I hear what you're saying, and I do agree with you. For me, that was not a trigger warning at all. I think in the last week, it just came to me to be considerate of the duality or the different sides to this pandemic that we're all facing, and that, like, I've seen a lot of, like, fun things about, you know, corona, whatever, corona dance moves and corona this and corona that. But there's also a lot of, like, corona death. And yes, there are so many other ways that people have been suffering, especially brown people, black and brown people, from poverty to hunger to, I mean, we won't go 400 years back, but I think just, you know, I caught myself being flippant about the fact that a lot of people have lost their loved ones and are losing their loved ones and their jobs and their ways of life and have uncertainty about their futures. And it's not so fun being poor in this country and needing to get your weekly wage and losing that job. So I think it's a way to keep myself in check from being flippant about the reality of people all around me. Yeah, that's it. So I'm not trying to not offend anyone. But for me, it's good to like to remember that balance. So there are positives, or there are things that, yes, there's a positive spin that I can take in my life. And I know that that's because, for me, it's because of my privilege. And I just want to be honest with myself about that.
So, and what benefit does holding both at the same time? Firstly, is that possible? Like, is it possible to laugh at a meme about coronavirus while still being maybe slightly remorseful for our privilege, deeply saddened for what's happened to people? Or is there a time and place? Should we do one well at each given moment and not try to hold both? Because I think when we hold both, you can't enjoy or fully invest in either. I wonder.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to think about. Yeah, I'll think about that.
Yeah,
I'll think about that. I think probably at the moment, I'm just not laughing too hard, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, that's funny. Oh, that maybe that's a bit too funny. I won't engage with that. But other people can laugh. Like people in Uganda may or may not have had their first coronavirus case. So they've been able to just be lighthearted. And that's so good. Like, that's great. And I want them to like laugh and enjoy life pre-corona.
Yeah, that's important. I think what I've noticed, I think the reality is that how we feel will constantly shift, and that's okay. You know, to find things funny last week and then to be deeply saddened this week and then to be a mixture next week, there's no right answer.
Yeah,
it's deeply complicated and overwhelming.
Mm.
Mostly for a whole bunch of reasons. In any case,
yeah.
And I think just to make a differentiation, what Nyack was doing now, it's very different us as broadcasters just making it known versus individuals to each other. As broadcasters, that's quite dutiful and caring and considerate and necessary.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just curious. So for all of you with your individual engagement with each other, I'd like to hear about that. Like, how are you being mindful or not? Does it matter? Is it your responsibility? Is it not?
And I think that was a very important distinction to make, because with you at home or with, you know, my dad via text or something like that, I'm not going to caveat everything I say and remind people that I am deeply sorry for the people that have had, you know, losses in this time, because I need an outlet and I choose what that is, and it will be a funny meme or it will be being grateful that that I'm in a position that I am, and like, you know, laughing with joy. You know what I mean? So it's going to be very different in private than it is in public. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. There's a different responsibility.
Yeah.
There is, for sure.
Yeah.
So I want to read out, I asked people on our Instagram at @isaidwhatisaid_pod. Pretty sure. And I asked people what positives.
No, it's not. It's I Said What I Said podcast.
Oh, is it?
I think. Anyway, that's not the point. Go ahead.
No, that actually really is.
It's iSwiss_podcast.
iSwiss, guys. As we said, not ISIS. Please.
We've been blocked once. We don't need it again.
We've not been blocked.
You said we got blocked the first time we started.
No, I got blocked on Instagram.
For saying iSwiss.
No, for telling Bobo. No, I'm not starting.
No, I know you got blocked for iSwiss. We'll continue.
So what positives or benefits has Global Frenzy brought you? Yeah, that's a very crude way of asking, but you know what I mean. Okay, so someone said, no uni attendance. I can rest a bit and work at my own pace.
That one made me feel good. Yeah, good for them. Because uni makes you sick, man. Some can.
School is a lot. Studying is hectic.
It really is.
Appreciate my housemates and parents more. The amount of people outside is incredible because we're forced to take a break. That's quite interesting.
Wait, meaning there were a lot of people outside? Or
Because everyone has to take a break.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because you know what? In corporate, we don't get to enjoy the sunshine, eh? I remember how little I would enjoy this African sun because I had to be inside making money for the man.
And it's interesting. Also, I've been learning there's a difference between corporate and office. I think we just mean office job.
What is the difference?
What's the difference? Corporate is...
Which corporate job lets you run around in the sun?
So if you work in a factory, you're still indoors, but that might not... That's not corporate.
Okay. That's the quickest you've ever made a point.
So it is, hey? Joy spending time with my younger siblings. A weird sense of calm with time to do... A weird sense of calm with time to do my own projects and love my own company.
Mm.
Remembering the importance of self-care and spending time on myself at home.
Mm-hmm.
I love the routine of quarantine. No small talk, no formalities, just work and fun. This person's an introvert, they've said. My dad finally understands why I need to quit my job that he previously was telling me to keep.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think the exploitation's jumped out.
Mm.
Everyone else is now as anxious as me. Yay, so freeing.
Yeah, dude.
That must be nice for people who've been telling us the world's ending and that everything's trash to feel validated.
Even Bobo said that on her story this week sometime.
Must have. It's every week.
No, she specifically said it's so nice that finally everyone's anxious. She's been knowing the world's ending.
She said that. Bobo. Comedian. Seeing what people are capable of when pushed into a corner. Maybe it's not positive, but it's useful.
Yeah.
Going to discuss that. Watching the earth replenish itself. Humans really are a cancer. Love hanging out with friends remotely. It doesn't take forever to leave or exit.
Yeah, dude.
Having sex every day.
You know, that's the thing. You needed to have hooked up with Boo before the shutdown.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. Someone said cleaning their home. Someone else said my real friends are the only ones that have kept in touch. Mm. Time. Someone said just having time and giving me a reason to take work off. So this is so important to me, is like counting all the ways in which we can. I like to see the opportunity for complexity in every circumstance in my life.
Mm.
So if something's being taken away from me, what's being given? If something's been given, what's being taken away? So I see duality in everything, and it's much more easy to see it when things are going badly, because then I need a kind of, is it called a life rope when you're drowning? I need a
lifeline.
I need a lifeline to understand why suffer through this, like what is at the end of this for me.
Mm.
And so I think this is an important topic because there's so much of what all of us have been asking for is being given to us now, but not in the way we necessarily wanted.
Mm.
I guarantee you, before there was corona frenzy in your city or country, just before, the day before, the week before, you were telling your friends and family how exhausted you were, how tired you were, how much you needed to sleep, like you just needed time, how much work was just preventing you from doing normal functional stuff like cleaning your home, hanging out with your friends, cooking a meal instead of takeaway. All of us were exhausted. And now we have exactly what we've been asking for. And it depends on your circumstances if you have to work or not.
Mm.
But a lot of time to actually rest and to do things that have become so normal for us to just not have time to do. When did it become normal that we just don't have time to cook? Like, you have to get that in on Sunday or else in the week you literally don't have time. When was that okay? And it creeped up and it crept up on us, and suddenly that's like the new normal. And so it is so important to consider the ways you can enjoy this time, because it's never, the next time you're getting this is the next pandemic.
Mm.
Like, once this is over, you are literally back to your 9 to 5, 8 to 8 slave shift. And unless you are there already, because we know loads of people still have to work. And I want us to discuss that. So in what ways, I have a whole list of ways that I have found like a lot of that this pandemic has poked holes in a lot of the ways I used to live before
mm-hmm.
that I know I have to rectify as soon as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I should discuss
them I think first. You should launch in.
Okay. I think the biggest one, let's talk financially, because I feel this is going to affect us in terms of healthcare, global healthcare, and then financial...
Like the economy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Financial fortitude. And that's all political, but let's think of them on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't... Just the other day, I asked all of you about a few weeks ago about your finances. Most of you said you didn't have savings. Most of you, 70%, said you don't have savings and you don't divide them into short, middle, and long-term goals. And you don't have an emergency fund. That was before Corona. That was in January, I think.
Someone is a visionary.
Can you imagine? And so, and that was me too. And then, so just even starting there, like the fact that it's so hard to realize how financially insecure you are until something trips you up.
Mm.
And then you realize, okay, I actually have a runway of 10 days before I'm quite literally homeless, or 2 weeks. And thinking about how can I decentralize my earning potential from this one place that I hate in any case and that drives me like a slave to something that doesn't need me to be well or there.
Mm.
So I've been thinking, I mean, I think all of us have realized how perhaps working outside is not necessarily sustainable, not for the future we're in now, where we've decided we're clearly not taking care of the environment enough. This is going to happen every couple of years, right? We're going to have a new corona. So how can we not work remotely and also not have to be able-bodied, physically able-bodied? So using our limbs for our work, like being a barista, that's tricky because if something like this hits, you're at home. Being a voiceover artist, if I get coronavirus, I can't use my voice. I might use my hands and legs, but that's it. So how can we move into, I've just been thinking about earning potentials that are either subscription-based, so like software, or just like you can replicate easily, like merchandise, where you make a design once and you can print 7,000 pens or t-shirts or whatever, or software. So I feel like I'm grateful that my work is online, but it's still not enough. I use my voice and I also write scripts, but those are my hands. So what can I do that is just intellectual property? Because I think my brain will be the last thing to be attacked. I just think that... Mm-hmm.
And if it is attacked, nothing else is working, is, you know, able to produce anyway.
Do you know what I mean?
So it is.
Yeah. It's a different kind of resource. So yeah. That's made me think about that. And I think a lot of us are probably thinking, how can we make side income? And I hopefully take that forward and find out how we can make income that's more passive, that doesn't actually need us there. Because you get paid per voiceover. That's not good enough.
No.
We need licensing. We need royalties.
And it is the sole reason, or one of the major reasons of my anxiety in this period, is that if I get sick, I stop work and money stops coming in. Mm. So yeah, it's quite real.
It is. It's horrific.
Mm.
And so I would really implore anyone who has either free internet or internet cheap and unlimited to really consider your online options as the first step to decentralizing how you make money. It's just shown us it's very real. I mean, how many of us have 3 months saving? How many of us have 1 month? And then how many of us have 6 months or a year, which is what it'll take to blow over? So this is a positive that we should seek resources. I mean, Nicolette Mashile has just made a video. She's a YouTuber and she's made a video I haven't watched yet about side incomes in the time of Corona, that you need to have several ways to make money.
Mm.
So that's dope. I mean, it reveals how financially vulnerable we are. And that really is a positive, as much as it's scary.
And I'll tell you why it's also positive, is that the forecasts for Corona is that it will end, is that a vaccine will be found within a year to 18 months. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Therefore, you have a chance to make a plan. You know, you should you survive, you will have a chance to make a plan. Oh my God, that's trying to make it a bit light, I know.
But fair, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe consider, I mean, I think we are moving from, or not we are, but I would recommend, I would love to move from brick and mortar to digital.
Definitely.
Physical product to licensing. And then from using externalities and like my health to just using my mind.
Mm.
Because we can't, guys. And then what about, I mean, monetizing skills that come naturally? That's an interesting one. Because I was thinking, I'm going to move into social media management shortly. And all of us who are listening to this podcast have social media skills. And could all of us have also come across terrible adverts for like your local pizza company or from, you know, this like telecommunications agency that just doesn't know how to use adverts or how to target them or how to even have a voice, a brand voice. And we know the stuff just from being consumers for 20 odd years. So things like that, like what skill do you already have that you might be able to offer someone? I think that's an important way to consider making money.
And you know what? That is a very serious thing because that's how I started doing voiceovers. I just thought, what do I have that I don't need to study further or improve myself or whatever? And it was my voice. And I could just start with zero, buy a cheap, cheap mic and start zero. It was my voice. So for you, And that's how I started doing voiceovers. So I really like the fact that you, especially your generation that grew up on social media from the age of 9, 10, you do have 20 years in the bag of you watched Twitter come and grow. You watched Snapchat come and grow. I guess a lot of us, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you watched Facebook come and grow. So yeah, definitely tap into that.
Agreed. I want to find, I asked people what side hustles they engage in now. I just want to rattle some off for you.
And while you're finding them, just to add to that point, is that I think like the people that have contacted me because they know that I do voiceovers are stumped. Like, what on earth could I possibly do? And so I think the advice that you gave now is, what do you have before you have to learn, do change anything? What skills do you already have? Are you really good at writing tweets? Are you good at writing
tweets?
No, seriously. Some people do not know how to condense what they want to say into 140 characters or into a story, a thread, right? I don't.
I'm laughing because you call it writing tweets.
Oh, what do people do? Compose tweets?
I don't think it's either. Like, are you good at tweeting or Twitter?
Well, there you go. There you go. You've answered it. I'm gonna stick to my lane. Yep. Yeah, so really just brainstorm for yourself. What do you have that you don't have to change doing? Are you an artist? Do you like making things look nice? Can you walk into a room and see how it looks better? Like, could you be an advisor in that sense? Or could you listen to a piece of music and write a review, or watch a movie and write a review, or something like that? What do your friends ask you for already? Playlists, movie lists. Things like that. Honestly, everything is monetizable.
It is. With the mention of it takes, like, the ingredient is time and consistency. So if you start selling feet pics now online, you're not going to make money now.
Absolutely not. That was a key thing. And I know that I just happened to be in the right place at the right time, but it was a long time coming. It's 5 years down the line that I'm an established voiceover artist online, is how now when, you know, this Corona pandemic is happening, that I'm in a stable place because I'm online, but I'm also secure online.
And it's taken me a year and a half and I've just started to make money, like good money. And not even good. And I still haven't hit my goal.
Yeah. And consistency, I think, is how, because I've often thought I've made good money, but I think the consistency is what counts, because even like today, I haven't saved up for a month, let alone 3 months or 6 months of living without work. So I've had like spikes in making good money, and maybe this is the life of an artist, and learning how to think of my money differently. But only now, like, I have a job that I can finally just put savings aside with, you know?
That's interesting, because I wonder if it's the life of an artist or if it's just holes in our financial education. Because I wonder if it's about the amount you make versus the amount you save.
You're actually right. And your habits, money habits. Yeah. You're right.
Okay, so people said selling feed pics and selling nudes. That they mentioned that they did this on OnlyFans, and I think you have to make $500 before you can take out the money. So that's the caveat there. I do surveys online and get paid $10 for 5 to 10 minutes.
That's amazing. I tried surveys online and it was terrible.
I actually need to ask this person where. I'll find out exactly what website.
That sounds like a really good gig.
Someone else does this on usertesting.com. Mm-hmm. Someone else sells on Depop.
Mm. What is that? What? They sell what?
Oh, okay. Depop. You sell clothes.
Used clothes?
Used clothes, yeah.
Oh, okay. So they what? They go to a used clothes store? A person. Store.
So I can buy your used clothes via Depop.
But they don't have used clothes indefinitely. Like they go and stock up from a secondhand store.
No, no, it's mine. Oh. If I want to sell you my, you know, shoes or Birkin bag or whatever. Right. Mm. UI design, graphic design, selling my photography and surveys. Okay. I'm a streamer. I play video games and talk to viewers who subscribe to my content. And that is Dawn8. You can find them on the streaming channel, or that's their username. I take commissions for digital drawings, I copyright, I make and sell jewelry, art commissions, I teach English, Poshmark, I don't know what that is.
Teaching English is another thing that native English speakers already have, that there's a small certification you have to do and then you could do that online.
Or you just do it without a certification on this website, the Teach English one.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's...
They take your passport, not your certification.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'll put all the links. How about this? All the information for this... I might make a document, actually, and that'll be on our link tree.
Awesome.
And finally, I write articles which pay me $30 per article.
Nice.
You can write articles on Upwork or Fiverr. I write articles on Upwork, just YouTube stuff. Top 12 ways to get a girlfriend. And then I write that for somebody who makes it into a script, or rather who reads it as a script.
And please note, there are so many freelancing websites out there. Upwork and Fiverr don't even rank on the top 10 when you search. So like...
Yeah, but what are the other ones? I mean, you've said that, but I have not seen
I don't know
anyone.
What they are. I don't know what they are, but we'll just do a top 10 search now and see.
Yeah, please. Like,
they're so...
Because I've not found a reputable... Fiverr has the most people on it.
It's also one of the trashiest environments.
It is, but I think because you've had that fact for a while, but where's the, I need the backup because there is no, like, where are they?
Okay.
Because I went to freelancer.com. It was terrible.
Isn't freelancer.com freelance?
Upwork. No, Upwork changed its name from something else.
Oh, okay.
Toptal I tried. No.
Toptal. Upwork is number 2. Didn't know that. Freelancer.
By the way, this is just a man on the internet who's categorized them.
That's true. Freelancer, Fiverr, Guru, People Per Hour is another good one. People Per Hour. I Freelance, 99 Designs.
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually loads if you Google that.
There are tons, yeah.
So yeah, I think the importance of having a savings fund has clearly been underscored.
Mm-hmm.
And then just lastly, diversifying our investment portfolios. So I don't have one investment.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what are you even diversifying?
So what I was going to do, I was only going to buy stocks, but the stock market's crashed. So that wouldn't have been so wise. I would rather have a portfolio divesting in a lot of things. So stocks, livestock.
Land.
Yeah, land, like different things.
Hmm.
So I just think that might be something to consider.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that does make sense. Look, and I was very against the housing market and putting my money into property.
Why?
Because I've been burnt with property, and also doesn't grow as fast as things like stocks. And I wanted to make a lot of money in a shorter space of time.
Oh,
I don't mean get rich quick. I mean, like, you really can, you can make a lot more money on the stock market than you can in property with a smaller amount of money.
And what time? Because if you put in stocks, you're taking that out in 20 years.
Yes, but it can, if I have a broker, they are working it for those to put 20 years. So it could be more than if I bought, you know, with R1 million, bought a house, and in 20 years, it might be worth 5 million, 6 million. Whereas the stocks would be worth a lot more.
Okay. It's interesting. That's very interesting. And I think we all need to continuously, like, work on our financial education, because I think, yeah, man, I used to look at things like in flat terms like that as well. But then I thought, and then Nicolette talks a lot about, there's no, like, a dollar and a dollar aren't made equal. It just depends what you want out of it.
Mm.
So I think I'd rather get rent for 20 years, then cash out in 20 years. But that's because of my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Whereas like you might have different lifestyle needs. And so thinking of investments and money, not as like these on paper, good and bad, but actually like circumstantial. Mm. And which one is also, stock market is absolutely not guaranteed. Whereas property, like, oh, it just depends.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's.
Yeah, I get that. That's a good point to think about what you actually need and what you want.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because even me, I'm thinking, well, do I really want to start? If my lifestyle, what does my lifestyle call for? Would it be better to invest in a house or a certain amount of money or invest in stocks a certain amount of money? Mm-hmm. What do I require and which can give that to me?
And right. And could you have one house so that could even become your security when you need somewhere to stay and the rest of your money goes into a lot of other things rather than all in the property market, which may very well crash? As well, like when you just all your eggs in one basket, we're seeing is not a good idea.
It's just wild though. It's all clearly a game of, is it poker? The thing where you call each other's bluff.
Yeah.
I think if I would look at investments as a flock of birds, like when one turns, they all turn. Mm-hmm. And the scare of the coronavirus has just made the market crash. And not for any material, like, okay, no. There is definitely a material reason. China's shut down.
Yeah, and manufacturing in a whole lot of countries has stopped.
So people are pulling out. But it's interesting because if none of us pulled out, like, I think it's the fact that our money is based on the whims of how people feel.
Yeah.
Rather than logic is very interesting. But nonetheless, invest and save.
Nonetheless, yeah. So that was one of the things as well. I'm just going to keep jumping in when I have correlating points about what I'm getting through all of this. But so that's one of the things that was freaking me out a lot is that I had my whole FIRE plan that I was now going to start working towards, which heavily relies on investing in the stock market. When you do have the money, like investing in stocks and whatever those unseen things are.
What do you mean? What unseen things?
So not necessarily, so not it heavily relies on, but what I considered my vehicle was things like, as opposed to physical goods, like I wouldn't invest in livestock and property and you know, things that I can hold, but in stocks, intangible things. Oh, that's the big word.
Okay, understood.
But like in stocks, and I don't even know what the other words are, bonds and what, those things. And then the stock market started crashing and I thought, imagine if my whole life plan was in there. Say I had reached FIRE and I'm now living off 4% of the interest. And then all of a sudden, my portfolio loses whatever 80% of its value, 20% of its value. That's my life upended. And that really got me down because I thought, well, then I can't plan for anything because at any minute, this fake system might go belly up. And then what? So
what are other people on FIRE doing? Have you seen?
No, I haven't looked. I've been too embroiled in my own issues.
In your own issues?
Yeah.
No, sorry, I shouldn't have laughed.
Yeah, I do need to check on this one, the one couple that I follow on FIRE because they live in Portugal, which is, you know, really close to the center of disaster, kind of, to see what they're doing and what contingency plan they're making.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. This really has made me think about the world economy and how things are run and how fickle politics is and where then I put my stability, like how I center my life and where I get my sense of calm from. And it really can't come from all these things working externally.
Yeah, because I think it sounds like you're finally going to be out. Like FIRE, you could finally be out. And I wonder if there is such a thing. As long as you're using money as...
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I had to be fully in to be fully out, if you know what I mean. Like, that was the catch, and I only just realized now.
That's important. Okay, so let's... Wrapping up this work segment, let's get to a dilemma. I have my own small business, which I'm in the process of building, but at the moment, it's not lucrative enough to live off. I lost my job, which was a side job, and... Even though it was a side job, it was my main income source. Because of COVID-19, once this whole thing blows over and things go back to normal, should I get another meaningless side job for the money whilst putting in 50% into my own business? Or should I put 100% into my own business and sacrifice the extra cash while I try to make my business grow? Side note, I'm moving back home so I won't have to pay rent.
Okay. This, I think that there are a couple things to consider. Number one would be, does making that extra side income give you a... Are you able to put 100% into your business without imploding because you don't have an extra income? Will you be able to survive knowing that you need to live off your parents, even if it's for a certain period of time? So the other thing I would say is that if it is, do you want to consider giving yourself a certain period of time? Because it seems like you can just plug into a meaningless system now or at a later stage. So there is no real need to rush back if you can maintain your peace of mind, if you can be productive while living at your parents' place, knowing that you won't have the independence of making your own money. So if you can handle that mentally and if your circumstances can support that, I would definitely dive in 100%. Yeah, but then I would consider that. You might want to, if you think it'll drive you a bit, you know, up the wall, then give yourself a time frame. Say, I'm going to do this 100% for 6 months. And if it's going a lot slower, then I will consider getting another meaningless job and then supplementing my income, et cetera, et cetera.
Hmm.
What do you think?
So you said, should I put 50% into two businesses or 100 into mine? If there's enough business in your business to put 100% in, then put it in. But if there isn't, I think a level of discomfort is always important to keep innovating and to keep wanting more for yourself. So I would recommend staying 50% in until you have enough orders to keep you busy,
mm-hmm.
until your business is ramped up. Let's say that takes a year for you to really, you know, get your name out there, and the discomfort of having to do a meaningless job will get you creative.
Mm.
But I think when you're totally... Well, I've experienced when I'm totally comfortable, nothing moves. The fact that you don't have to pay rent is good materially, but not for your sense of urgency and hunger for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it also depends. You might not want urgency and hunger. You might enjoy the comforts of having a business that's kind of good to mediocre to good, and you can stay home. If that's what you want, and then you have a lot of free time to enjoy yourself, do that. So whatever you prioritize, if you're ambitious and you need to feed that ambition, then stay uncomfortable. But if you actually just want a slower life, yeah, just put 100% in now, even if the business is small, and enjoy the free time. Like, laze around, see friends, prioritize one. You know, both are okay.
Yeah, both are okay. I do think I want to say restrictions, it's the wrong word, but like some parameters are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do choose to stay, to go put 100% in your business, I would suggest putting parameters like a time frame, or these are my KPIs or my goals or whatever. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it can kind of fizzle into a self-indulgent loop where you get inventors are so in love with their idea that they're not able to see if it's really worth pursuing. So to keep yourself grounded in the real world, to see what, to see if this is really viable, if this is worth pushing, if you need to switch direction, just to keep it, you know, to keep some life in your business, basically, to keep it relevant.
Makes sense. Okay. Next dilemma.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, putting me on the spot there. Okay, I'm ready. Next dilemma. I love my job. Dream job, to be honest. But the salary is not sustainable, and I'm planning to move back to Australia with my partner and baby because of money. Progression into a higher paying role is possible, but not in the near future, at least a few years. I'm afraid I will start in a whatever job to pay the bills and stagnate in the suburbs, all because of money. Are the burbs bad? Anyway, we aspire to the suburbs here. Is prioritizing my dreams feasible, or do I give into monetary needs? Is it selfish to want to continue pursuing my job rather than moving when my partner can't get a good job here and I don't make enough money to support us comfortably?
How I understand, so there are layers to that. You do have enough money and you have your dream job. You just want to move with your partner struggling. That's what I'm understanding.
They're saying that they don't have enough money to support themselves, their partner, and their baby.
Yeah, but they have enough money for them. They have enough money for themselves and their baby. So I love my job. I love my life. My partner's struggling. So we're going to move to Australia and that's where they'll find work.
They didn't say they love their life. They just said they love their job, but it doesn't pay well.
But it doesn't pay well, but you've been managing because you've been doing it. So who's it doesn't pay well for who? For the third party that is your partner.
Let me let you finish your point.
My point is don't move for your partner. I wouldn't. Without knowing any context, I just wouldn't move. That would be the last thing I'd really consider. It works out for loads of people. I just think that strikes me as unwise. If you've got a job you love, if you're going to get paid well in a few years, it sounds like you could also just stay for a few years in the job.
No, it's okay. All right. So from what I understand, the progression getting paid better is in Australia. They would start at...
Oh, really?
Yes. They would start at a lower level and then in a few years get paid better. So they might start on kind of the same level that they are now, but progression would only happen in a few years. Okay.
No, progression into a higher paying role is possible, but not in the near future, at least a few years. So she could stay in this job in X country. And if she goes to Australia, she has to find a meh job.
Okay. So because I understand it the opposite way, maybe we should give two different scenarios.
Okay. All right. So if you've got a job you love that doesn't pay well, you've got a baby and a partner, you've been managing, but you can't support your partner because your partner's struggling to find work, I don't think you should move. I think you guys should workshop around what alternatives, what skills does your partner have? Can they do work online? Where can they start? Can they also start at a shitty job and work their way up? Because you've got a job you love that can progress into good money eventually. And I think having a job you love means a lot if you've ascribed meaning and identity to the job you do. So, okay, I know for a fact this person works in... what would you call it? Not human.
Should you give the, I don't think you should give the context yet.
Mm.
Cause then that's like an inside scoop.
Oh, right. Okay.
What do you think?
Well, look, all I'm saying is that people don't do the kind of work this person does unless they care about people. It's one of those jobs.
Right.
Yeah. So you found work that aligns with your purpose, your political beliefs, and you love it. It's your dream job.
Mm. I kind of assumed that from what they said, hey? I just knew that it was a job helping people originally.
Okay.
Because what else could be lovely, not pay well, and be your dream?
Art.
So my answer... Fuck art! My answer... Oh, that took me a while to pop out. There I am. My answer would be... So I like what you say, Kundra. I like...
Pop out?
Yeah, like I just loosened up a little bit. I've been tense this whole time.
Yeah, it took you for... No, I have noticed. I have noticed.
Anyway, I'm back, bitch. Bitches. Okay, so...
Why are you tense? You might as well tell us all.
Oh, you're thinking of the video?
No, I'm asking. I really don't... I mean, we don't have context.
I was tense, I think, just considering everything. And to me, this isn't a light topic.
I
think... I was kind of shook earlier this week when I realized... So a friend of mine posted a story that was just saying, hey, guys, like... You know, a whole bunch of you are really making light of the matter that corona is here, but a lot of people are suffering, dying, not doing well. Their mental illness or mental health, sorry, is not doing well at all. I'm not seeing much compassion, and it's really flippant and as if COVID-19 is a trend. And I really caught myself, and I think I was just very shook that I was at how flippant I had been. So in my, even, yeah in my... what I thought was being considerate and a good citizen, I was still very like flippant and not caring of people. And
what does that look like? Oh, sorry. Am I breaking your train of thought? Do you want to finish?
No, it's fine.
I think what I meant is I'd love you to finish that train of thought because we're going to go into a rabbit hole about what flippant looks like.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. So can you just continue? I'll ask all my questions at the end.
Right. So I think that got me down, which is great. Just making sure that I'm not just going with the wind, that I actually have some kind of moral standpoint. And I say moral, meaning being very personal. Don't believe my morals are for anyone else. So I must decide what I want my compass to be and to like be okay to stand in that and not be swayed by what's trendy to laugh at or to feel at the moment. And so I think that, and then I think I was also, then this morning I was just down a bit about not showing up as my authentic self. We recorded a quick video saying, hey, we're starting to, you know, we're recording this podcast. And I immediately just started smiling and, you know, playing the clown and tapping my feet. And I thought, I really don't like that. Like, I just want to be able to show up as myself. Like, I even don't like organizing client calls because I don't like the way, you know, I feel like I need to look a certain way. Like, they're going to just, you know, men, I feel like men can really show up without having washed their face and, you know, do a live video on the moment. I've noticed with all these live videos, all of the women have beat faces or look good. And most of the men, including the drag queens that I follow, you know, who they, you know, can look, well, they oscillate between either beat face or just looking like a messy man. And I think I've just been thinking about how much I police the way I look as well, and a bit disappointed by still twisting and turning to suit other people's gaze.
And so, okay, let's...
It's a big segue, so it's not really related.
No, yeah, that one's not. But it's about why you're feeling down early in the potty.
Yeah.
Okay, but you said you were being flippant before.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you what that looks like. And I think my question and my theory is that I don't think it's that we're always externally flippant or casual, but I think the magnitude of an issue hasn't hit us mentally. And so mentally, how we'd categorized it and we're treating it offline was not with an understanding of the grandeur. So I didn't see anything you'd ever posted about COVID. I don't think you had, besides warning messages. So you were never flippant, in my opinion. You just hadn't, maybe in your head and how you were treating it, you had a much more myopic view of what was going on. And I think and if that's true, that's an important distinction. Because I don't see what you would...
Well, in the last podcast episode we did, I mean, I was very laughy and jokey. Uh-huh. I haven't listened back, but I know that maybe the last one or two, like very much, you're the Europeans, like y'all keep your disease, you know?
Okay.
And yeah, I think I'm quite ashamed, not ashamed of that. It's a shame.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not feeling ashamed because I can't change it, but it's a shame that that's where, and I just hope that I will learn from this, I think, going forward.
Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks for sharing.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
I'm here to bare my soul for the gays and girls.
So let's talk about...
I didn't give my opinion about this dilemma.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Look at her. Her whole mood has dropped. You don't want me to give my opinion. I'm going to give my opinion, bitch. All right. So I think that assuming your partner has done all the things that Mukundwa said and tried to look for other jobs or tried their options, and assuming that they would have a much higher paid job if you were back in Australia that could take care of you and the baby as well, so your whole family, I would think that it would be... I would consider moving back because there are people to... I assume this is helping people, that there are like people to help everywhere, and there would be another way to plug in to your passion. And yes, it's different. Like, people aren't just people. Like, you've grown attached to the people wherever you are that you're helping, but there are people to help everywhere. So I would definitely weigh that up as to see whether your passion can be transplanted into a different environment. And I think I would advise the same for your partner. So, you know, yeah. If they should or could try to use their skill set to the max where you are currently. But I wouldn't jeopardize your family. Now that there's just because there's a baby in the picture, I wouldn't jeopardize your child's well-being because of your job. I do feel like jobs are everywhere.
But then, okay, what about, let's assume...
Meaning jobs are everywhere, meaning that one can find work wherever one is, it might need a bit of like adjusting.
If this person's dream job is, let's say they live in that's our cat. They live in Namibia, mm-hmm. and they're doing work about a certain kind of landscape that mm-hmm. affects a certain kind of person, and that's yes. found in sub-Saharan Africa. Yes. Now they're moving to Australia.
Yes.
That dream job isn't just helping people, you know, it's transferable very generally, but not specifically. So would your advice be the same if this was a specific job for a specific country, for a specific purpose?
Yes, it would be. I think I would interrogate that more. Is the fact of the dream that it is Namibia specifically and you have dreamt of Namibia and these people and this landscape? Or is it the way in which you are able to affect people who have been displaced or, you know, whatever it is in a landscape? Because you will find that everywhere where there are native communities, you will find that.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I understand that. Yeah, so you've got two opinions there. I would say absolutely do not move for your partner. And Nyack says,
and for me, I just feel like it's only because and primarily because you have a child and there is a baby involved. Like, I'm just thinking of their future and what is best for their future. And
if the sis stays for 3 more years, she'll be mid-management then and a job she loves.
Scenario one, and if it was that you'd have to wait in Australia for 3 years to get a much better paying job, what is that job? Would it be in the same arena? Would you survive that? Because your mental health is also a question. Sure. And then, but like, you're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving for people.
I think you're really seeing it as moving for the, like, the partner.
They are literally moving because he can't find a job.
But she says that her job can't sustain them either.
Yeah, all of them. All three. So, I'm talking about her and her baby. For me, so her responsibility is to her and her baby.
A single parent is not a joke.
But, okay, so how I've understood this. This man doesn't have a job. She's been a single parent financially, not socially. They're all raising the baby together.
Uh-huh.
So since she's already done this, continue doing it. And homeboy, it is difficult to find work. You might hear some ASMR of our cat licking and stroking. Don't mind that. Okay. Yeah, I think it's complex. I'd like us to deal with more. I want an episode about this, about moving for partners. And I think I also just don't understand because I don't have a significant other. And it's also just been drilled into me by women, like, just don't make any drastic financial decisions for your loved, if it's a male partner, for them. Like, as much as you love him and know him.
I see.
I don't know. You'll have to decide, darling. Alrighty. So, socially.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
I think what a lot of people are finding is that there's time now to catch up with all of their friends.
Yeah.
Digitally.
Yeah.
And more people... We just have more time than ever, if you're not working again, to engage with friends and family.
Yeah.
And like on the phone, but we were always distracted, or it was just such brief time and moments in between working. And I'm really appreciating that. Like, I actually have the time now to engage with all of my friends. It's so appreciated.
Yeah.
And catching up in ways that we just didn't before, like hanging out, playing chess online. Not having necessarily big catch-ups, but just hanging out together.
Yeah.
That's stuff that I know I didn't have time for before.
Have you played chess online?
I'm going to with Tessa.
That's so nice.
We're going to play chess. Oh, not chess. We're going to play Boggle.
Because I was going to say, Tessa, beware. If you're playing chess with Mukundo online, she might just rip your self-esteem to shreds.
Nyaki,
it was so horrible.
But why think you're good if you're bad?
Because Mukundwa, I'm a Gemini, we believe that we are the champions of the world.
Hey, Trump.
And then you keep coming and saying how useless I am. I want to move my pawn. It'll get eaten if I choose.
So people have also talked about having reflection time, like to really think about work and about what brings them joy, where should I be spending my time, even knowing what you don't want. Like, okay, now I really know my work's trash. I don't know what I want to do after, but I know I don't want to be here. It's important.
Having a moment to pause away from it just gives you perspective.
Yeah, and I think I've just seen a lot of that online. My timeline's been very positive. It's been full of people talking about the things that they've been able to do and jokes for relief, which are brilliant. People have been able to clean, declutter, organize, cook, catch up on shows. Mm. And it's time to think and strategize before we act.
Mm.
We just never have that downtime.
I wish I could say I needed the time to catch up on shows.
Yeah, you don't. I've not. I honestly need it. I need to just lie around and do nothing. I also think thinking is kind of like exercise. So if you exercise 14 days straight on your biceps, exercise your biceps or your body.
Wow.
For 2 whole weeks without a rest day, I think muscle just can't grow. There's no recovery.
Yeah.
And I think the mind's like that. Like if you don't, 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, which is really 1.5 days, you have no time to recalibrate and really reflect and think about what worked, what didn't. Do I like this? And now we've had all a few days to a couple of weeks. And now I think we're really synthesizing our thoughts, our feelings, checking in with our bodies. And that's just important. So while it is a tough time, I think there's a difference between it being difficult. Okay, for me in my life, there's a difference between being responsible, putting measures in place, and panicking mm-hmm. and having an emotional reaction to it beyond what is actually presented to me.
Mm.
So I'm really trying to manage that because mm-hmm. it's the frenzy and the panic that's totally, for me, unnecessary and dangerous and will really lower my immune system. But if I look at it in as measured a way I can for myself and my circumstances, I will be left in a better place. But I know working myself into a panic when really materially, if I think about my, not everyone's life, not the worst person who has it the worst in whichever city, my life, I'm okay. And it doesn't help the person who is in the worst city with the worst problem for me to panic or for me to feel guilty or bad or to deny myself the joys of quietly laughing at a meme or finding relief. And so I think we all should, for ourselves, quantify what that looks like. Where are my efforts practical for my own well-being, my community? Because we put each other in danger. Me panicking and then going on Instagram and panic, I've put everyone in danger. Everyone in danger. There's this person who spread misinformation. She was in a car. She's in a hazmat suit talking about what to do. And she said something like, just the most ridiculous thing that's untrue about the virus. I can't even remember. But I thought, and totally out of a place of love, but she was panicked. So I think we have to be responsible. We've always had to be responsible for the energy we put into spaces. But this is now reminding us that you need to be responsible. It matters what energy you put out there. Mm-hmm. If you are distressed, consider if that's worth sharing and why. Like, what's your intention? Who is that really going to help? And like feeling, definitely for all of you listening, we're all at different stages of panic in our cities. Feeling guilty for the privilege of not being Italy right now does not help Italy, does not help anyone who's in contact with you because you are putting everyone in distress, not just yourself. You're actually a liability. So let's just manage that and really think about intention and what we're trying to achieve. There are very practical ways to be of help and we can do those things. Beyond that, our duty is to still find moments of joy, moments of pleasure and calm or just neutrality. If we can, because this is the new normal in terms of shit will keep hitting the fan for our planet. How we respond, though, is going to make all the difference. Well, so for me, that's what this time of reflection has really given me.
Yeah, dude, the apocalypse, man. It really feels like these are apocalyptic days.
Why?
It's crazy. Because this is... disaster is widespread and new normal has had to be established several times over the last few years with the environment, with the economy, with now with our health. And where disaster used to be localized and it was poor Africans here or, you know, struggling farmers there, it's global. So it's, yeah. And maybe calling it the apocalypse seems flippant, but I really do feel like it feels like apocalyptic days where things are just, it's weird and different. Okay, so socially, you know, or in terms of my relationships, what I've gained is, you know, really needing to be present with my friends. It's really also decentralized myself from situations. So, you know, if they're not contacting me, my immediate thought isn't, geez, I mean, they must not be thinking of me, but it is, are they okay? which is my go-to now instead of why haven't they called me, which has changed my center of my compassion, I think, has grown a bit more or shifted.
Oh, so you're saying that's a good thing?
That's a good thing.
Okay, good I was thing. Like, damn, okay, yeah, I can see yeah, that. I see that.
It's given me more patience as well, like with my parents, like just more patience and just taking them at where they are, which is what I really needed to. So that's nice. Having the flexibility to just like have quick check-ins and not putting the weight of the world on my shoulders to like have this big, meaningful catch-up.
Yeah.
But just like a quick check-in, engaging how I can, which has been really, really good for me. So I've enjoyed that. And I think also socially, like on the compassion tip, just being considerate of, so I'm in the young age group that probably won't show symptoms or have mild symptoms and most probably won't die. And so knowing all of that and knowing that I still need to go out to the shops and so on and so forth, and that I might be a carrier if I do have the virus, like how I am considerate within my mental health capacity, how I'm considerate to especially older people that I see, like just giving them space. I remember that, like the shopping, the market or whatever it was being crowded, not crowded for these circumstances, and like an old person just wanted to go the other way, and beforehand, I mean, it's an old white man, beforehand I would have said no, and I would have gone through because, you know, standing my ground, but I just, you know, stepped aside and let him go through because who knows how scared he might be for his actual life that might be in danger, his chances of surviving if he does get the virus are 20-something, 22% or something like that, or 20%, whereas mine is 0.3 or something like, of dying, sorry. So that's been nice to see within myself, just really trying to put myself in other people's shoes, with, you know, attendance, like just being generous with them, making sure that I'm not imposing on them, or they don't feel like they have to like step back or whatever. I used to joke and touch people and like, you know, tap someone on the shoulder and tell them about their earrings and like get up in people's personal space is how I see it now. And just like giving people a bit more space. So while that's sad, like I feel like I can't just joke with everyone. But I also hope that giving them space would give them a bit of peace of mind. And that just feels nice to be part of that. If it does help at all, but only in as far as it helps me mentally, if you know what I mean. So,
So these are all like benefit. Are
they heavy benefits?
Well, they're like
underhanded.
Yeah, I guess they're life under the quarantine kind of benefits.
Yes,
which are medical. They're medical, and you're here for them. Like, give people space. I mean, is that what you... Okay, are these over and above the ones I've said? Or are these actually your only... your benefits you've seen out of this? Or they're over and above? So you have 5 plus those.
So I agree with yours, but these are the ones that I've gotten down. So, like, I don't really understand your question. Do mine seem to be... I don't understand your question. Why'd you ask that?
Because the one of, like, giving people space... That's still within the context of Corona. So the friends one, for example, is a lesson you can take outside of Corona. And while it's in response to...
So then let me show you how that is something I can take outside. So beforehand, I would have never considered an old white male because of their role politically in my mind. Okay. I need to stand up against them. But now, for the first time, I've given them consideration because I've put myself in their shoes and assumed how they might be feeling, being vulnerable. Like they're more vulnerable than me at this stage.
Oh, right.
And
all
so
right. Compassion.
That's been, so while it's a sad situation, it's been nice to feel that I do have room in my heart for people that I would not have ordinarily. And that's okay. I keep living. I keep, you know, and it's fine.
Okay. Yes. Understood. Understood.
Yeah.
All right. Keep going.
Yeah. I think that's it really. Like, yeah, just extending my consideration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that in terms of like compassion socially.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So another big topic that has been on my mind is, and that was highlighted through the Corona pandemic, was mortality and, you know, my own mortality, the mortality of those that I love that are around me, as well as the value that we give to living or to the fight for life is really more what it is. So basically, so the journey that I've had to go through is making peace with death. And again, I don't know how to say this in a compassionate way, so I'm just going to say it how it is making peace with death and knowing that, like, my own parents are older than 60, healthy, but older than 60, healthy for the most part. And just making peace with that, you know, if they are to die, being, trying to make peace with that. And the thing is, the funny thing is that it will come. That's the only way out of life, that they are going to have to die. And it just feels like it's something that I might have to deal with sooner. And really having to let go of the weight of that. And so for me, even though that's a somber topic, that's quite positive for me because I'm not trying to fight to protect them or to make sure that they don't die. They're going to die eventually. And they may very well come through this next 18 months unscathed. So yeah. Yeah. So really just being at peace with that. And then, so then my own death though, like, really kind of making peace with that. Like if I do get the virus and it does happen to be severe and I do happen to be on my deathbed, like I actually feel oddly calm, oddly excited. Actually, the word really is oddly excited about that. Like I'm okay with me dying like that. And I'm so surprised by that. I thought that I would be scared, but I'm actually quite happy about that. And it's nice that it's not a death through despair for me. So I'm glad.
Death through what?
It's a death through circumstance. Like it's not.
What's a death through despair?
For me, it would be suicide.
Oh, okay.
That I'm so sad I can't be here anymore and then I die. Like that's kind of sad. But like I'm happy. Life is great. But I just happen to get this virus and die. Kind of. That's fine. That's like light work for me within myself. And I'm kind of excited to see what happens next. Yeah, so it's really nice to know that I don't feel scared about that, which then it also made me question about like why we hold on so hard to living as individuals. Like,
very interesting. Yeah, you're very cautious with the coronavirus for someone who's like excited should it come.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's that I probably will survive and I need to make money in the month and a half that I'm sick. Or 2 months. I think that's really it. And I was just really sad for the people around me, the old people that I don't know how scary it must be to walk in the shops. You still have to eat, for the people that have to come to work in crowded transport systems. It just made me sad, you know, that I don't have to face any of those things. So I can't, and I'm still wary of the people around me. Imagine if I felt vulnerable and like any day could be the day I get the virus. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's made me think of mortality, which has been nice. Yeah. I think. And the reason why it's been nice is that I feel like I can be calmer going forward. That it just feels like it's not such a big deal. Like death is coming. I think I finally got it, Bobo. Death is coming. And it's really just a question of like when. And. Yeah, I think I realize in waves, again, that the meaning we ascribe to things is very changing. It's always fluid and really is only as big or as important as we say it is. Like it really is all in my control in that sense, like how important a thing is.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I mean, I keep in mind that I'm going to die. I think I mentioned having that countdown on my desktop that I heard Tim Ferriss talk about with the days you have left on the planet.
Yeah.
Because they are finite, and that helps you contextualize the people you spend time with, the people you love, the work you do. You just think, well, what's really worth it? And unfortunately, I find very little is, but I have to engage, or I choose to engage because I want comfort. Very little work. Is our voiceovers worth it? No, there's much more I'd rather be doing, like nothing, or just hanging out with my parents and my friends, but I have to live, and so I pick away. And so I just think that should be at the forefront, or somewhere in your cognitive day-to-day life. And if it's not, if it hasn't been, it should be now. Mm. That you have finite amount of days. How are you finding small pleasure? Mm. Which is why I do prioritize pleasure. And I do recommend everyone does as well. Really find the quickest route to pleasure. If you want to be thin and you have the money, is the quickest route exercising for 6 months, or is it going and getting some surgery? Which one gives you pleasure? Which process gives you pleasure? It might be the exercising. It might be the surgery. Pick whichever one that gives you pleasure and go. Don't worry about morality. Don't worry about people think. And I think applying that to everything we do, like what makes you feel good the quickest.
And not what you hope or what you think should make you feel good, what actually makes you feel good. So Nyack might pick, no, exercise, yes, that's going to make me feel good, but I still wake up grudgingly every morning. Then bitch, go get the surgery. It's not what makes you feel good. That exercise is not it. Like, you know, what I mean? Like, just be honest.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, I really think that's a great point. Mm. What we think should make us, there's lots of stuff like that. Like, okay, being a morning person, mm-hmm. doing yoga, eating in these ways, having these kinds of friends. That's what you think should. If actually bumming out makes you feel good, you found your calling, mm-hmm. which is why I support bums. So that makes you feel good and everyone rises to support you. Ah, who am I to tell you to stop?
So why aren't you supporting the partner in the scenario we read?
Oh, because the partner didn't ask. Oh. If the partner asked, that would be very different.
Okay.
Yeah. No. He didn't ask. She asked.
Got you.
Don't move. And on that note, so it's overwhelming and we all have a level of panic, like mm-hmm. different levels. There are a lot of positive takes from this episode, albeit the tone isn't fun and jumpy, but you know, listening to it, there's a lot I think we can all kind of think about, and a lot of hard truths. It's really horrible knowing that we are all financially insecure, but hopefully we can slowly start to think about ways we can support each other, and ourselves firstly, actually. Well, not even firstly. Please do send in if you have any interesting alternative ways to make money. Please do send in something fairly elaborate about what platform, what are the caveats, how can people do what you do. That would be so helpful for everybody. Mm. I'll share that information. And keep sending in topics you want us to talk about, casual topics. Yeah, people have sent in quite a few about just things that are light.
Mm.
And so our next episodes, yeah, we'll have lightness, but also interlaced with the realities of what we're going through, all of us. Yeah.
Indeed.
Alrighty. Have a great week. Happy Sunday, Monday. Stay moist. Stay blessed.
Much love. Bye.